Yes, yes, team, and welcome to another episode of the Total Mental Performance Podcast. Today we have a very special guest. We have Mr. Stephen Cheevers. Not only has he become a good friend, but he's also a client of mine. We've been working together over the last few months to help him operate on a completely different league and a completely different level. He's the founder of The Coach's Mentorship, and he's one of the funniest guys I know. Like, he can just pull laughs out of anyone that he's around. He's got such a brilliant energy, and he's going to have a lot of knowledge and wisdom bombs to share today. So, Stephen, mate, welcome to the Total Mental Performance Podcast.
Thank you, mate. Appreciate it. I appreciate being here, and thanks for having me. Been looking forward to this.
Yeah, me too. We first met at the event in Marbella. Why don't you just share a little bit about what you guys were up to last year in the summer?
We obviously had you out at our Marbella event. So we run four live events a year for our clients. The big one is always the Marbella event in the summer. So last summer we invited all our clients out to Marbella. We ran like a 3-day intensive basically. So all of our clients together on day one, our CM only clients, which is our higher tier at the minute, on day two, and then on the third day, we had like a big boat party for everybody to network and just have a bit of a laugh and let their hair down, which I think, you know, off the back of these intensive things, you know, where you go away and your brain's melted for like 8 hours a day, it's good to have some kind of decompress at the end of it. So we always try to do something fun on the third day. So yeah, that's, you know, what we do. And we always try to get in cool, unique guests that, you know, can bring a bit of extra value on top of what me and Tony do. So we obviously brought yourself in for the mindset stuff, and we had Sean Casey and PDK Fitness as well, some other TMP alums in, talking about content back then, and yeah, it was still to this date, I think everybody thinks it was, you know, the best event they've ever been to. So although we did one in November in Belfast, which everybody said maybe in terms of the way I was ran and value and stuff like that, might have topped it, but it's hard to top being in Marbella. So yeah, and we're doing it all again this summer. So yeah,
awesome. Yeah, it was a great event. One thing I noticed, and for context, Stephen runs the Coach's Mentorship. Why don't you actually just run through a little bit about what that is and what you're doing?
Yeah, so the Coach's Mentorship, possibly, you know, the title itself alludes to what we do. So we're a business mentorship program for fitness coaches. I co-founded it with my business partner, Tony McAlevey. And really, the CM, as we call it, came out of really me and Tony. We actually met in a business mentorship years and years and years ago, when it was the only business mentorship in town. We both joined on the same day. We both did very well out of it, got a lot out of it, eventually left, went our separate ways. He was doing incredible stuff at his fitness business. I ended up, you know, I started off with like a fitness app, which is how I got into that. We can maybe talk about that a wee bit later. It's a similar story to you with startups. And but eventually I pivoted that into a six-figure FitPro based marketing agency, which primarily we did Facebook ads and things like that. And I then worked in some business mentorships as well, as well as actually being members of them. And you know, me and Tony sort of put our heads together one day. He was getting asked for business mentorship. He was doing a wee bit on the side, just here and there, helping people. And after we put our heads together, we were like, do you know what? Like, we could form our own program. And there's a way that we think that these programs should be run. There's certainly an element of morality as well. I think that these programs should be run. I don't think everything is just, you know, it's just so black and white as some of them can be. So we really just sort of put our heads together and we're like, right, okay, look, how do we want a business mentorship program to run? How would we want to be treated in a business mentorship? And that's where the CEM was sort of born from. So we primarily help, the goal is to help as many fit pros as possible from anywhere, really. Like, we started off sort of operating in a space where we would sort of help people that were, you know, maybe starting at like 2 to 3K a month and they were wanting to get up to 10K. And then we expanded that out with lower tier services to help basically anybody go from zero up to 10K a month and then beyond. And now we have services as well, which are designed really to get people from even like if they're already earning like 15K plus a month, get them up to 1 million a year. So that's where we're at right now. We're trying to cover all the spectrum. So, You can come to us if you're making absolute zero. You can come to us if you're just thinking about, maybe I want to be an online coach, right? Because we even have something for that. Up to somebody who's already incredibly successful six-figure business and wants to take it into the millions. So that's hopefully a good rundown of what we do.
It is. What I picked up when I spoke at your event, you had a real beautiful balance of higher level thinking. Sometimes things can get a little bit too lost in the motivational side. But what I found was you were just giving just straight little nuggets of gold that somebody could take and use right this very second, like highly practical, tactical advice where, you know, if you implement that straight away, you're going to get a result and it's going to move the needle forward. So I was particularly impressed with that. And you have a great room of people in there as well. So I said to you at the end, I was really impressed with what you guys are doing. And we have a lot of mutual clients as well. So you've got to have mutual values in business and partnerships. Ours is be water, high performance, be honor. And, you know, we shake a hand, we do a deal, we're transparent, we're upfront, and be love, like give a shit about people. And I really got that sense from you guys as well.
Yeah, well, I think that really is part of our core ethos is, like, we're big on community. And, you know, community sometimes is a bit of a buzzword and sometimes it might even send like a shiver up people's spine because they think community, they think, oh God, this is another Facebook group and I'm never going to meet the mentor and stuff like that. Like, that's not how we operate. Like, they depend on the tier of service, right? And obviously we can't offer it through every tier of service, but there is one-to-one contact. You'll always speak with me and Tony. There's, you'll always speak with a coach. You know what I mean? Like, you're never going to be very far from getting help. You know, community is more than just a Facebook group. Community is about really caring about people. Like, we do genuinely care about all our clients and want all of our clients to win. You know, that's part of the biggest buzz that we get is when somebody sends us through a win and they're like, holy crap, I just hit my first 10K month, or holy crap, I've just done something like life changing. Do you know what I mean? Like, we've had people that, some people aren't, like, not everybody's interested in earning 10K a month. That's just like a marketing thing that people think, oh, right, everybody wants to make 10K a month, right? Some people be happy making 5-6K a month, but traveling the world. Like, we've had clients that, like, we have a great client, Darren, and absolutely all the time in the world for Darren. Darren's been with us from when did we start? So we're now 2 years in business. So he, in August in the first year, so that would have been, what's it, 2024 now? So August 2022, I think he joined us in around there. He was a substitute teacher and he was coaching on the side and he had about 500 Instagram followers. And he came to us and he was like, look, I'm moving to Australia. He'd already plans to move to Australia. He goes, I want to take the coaching. I want to transition out of the teaching and coaching full time. And he goes, and really my big goal would be to go to Australia and not have to get a substitute teacher job. So I can just do my traveling, bring my laptop, all the rest of it. So that's what we did. We slowly transitioned him out of the teaching. So by the time he went, so I think he went to Australia sort of around December time. It was certainly towards the end of the year. No, he was at our live event in December. So he must've went January, February time the following year. But by the time he got to there, his coaching business, which was, I don't even think he was making $1,000 a month, was at the stage where he could quit his teaching job. So he quit his substitute teacher job early. He moved to Australia. He didn't have to get another job. He just continued to grow and grow and grow. I still think he's only maybe got about 1,500 followers. Like, so it's not one of these things where he blew up on and went viral and got rich overnight. But now he's doing 10K a month. So he went away and traveled in Australia. He was doing about 8K a month while he was away because he wasn't fully in the business. He was enjoying himself. He was traveling. He was doing all that. But he's still doing 8K a month, which is a six-figure business, right? He was traveling in Australia. The second he came back to Ireland, so he's back in Ireland now, I think he got back to Ireland in January. The second he had a full month here and he was just focused on business, he had a 10K, right? So there's different ways it's going to cut. Like, for him, that was an incredible result. And for us, that was an incredible result because his own satisfaction was there. Do you know what I mean? He got everything he wanted out of using our service. So that's great. And you talk about the actionable advice as well. Again, that's another core part of the ethos as well. There's a lot of business mentorship programs, and I'm not trying to shit on anybody here because I've been part of ones that are like this and I still got great results out of them. But yes, they're highly motivational. It's very much like, you know, you just need to be motivated. You just need to work harder. You need to do this, 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 and this, right? And that's okay for some people that are maybe, you know, that's what they're really into. Like, Tony would be very into that type of stuff, like, you know, heavy mindset stuff. I'm not that guy. Like, that's part of the reason I signed up TMP was like, I need to fix my mindset. We just want to give, like, there is some of that in the program, but a lot of it is just core actionable advice. Like, one of the trainings we did in the Marbella event, which I called How to Outbound Without Being a Cunt. And that's probably a bit controversial. Some people would not enjoy hearing that, but that was my training, right? And as part of that training, I taught everybody how to do it there live in Marbella. And then I was like, right, now go do it. Okay. So I set time aside of part of, I didn't give them a training, and I was like, right, go away and do that in your own time. It's like, here's 15 minutes now before the next training. I want you to go and implement this right now. And people literally got booked calls there in the room. People literally got seals yeah, while they're in there. Marbella.
I was there.
Yeah.
It was cool.
Yeah. So
again, you were just playing the games. Like, go do it now. Go and see. And then I remember, I can't remember her name. She ran in. She was like, "Oh my god, somebody's just said they mean to sign up and they're gonna do it." So like,
I think it was Nicole. Yeah, I remember that too. So yeah, it's, do you know what I mean? And that's what we're all about. Like, I don't want to give trainings to people that are like airy fairy, and you know, it's like, oh, you just need to pull up your bootstraps and do this. Like, I mean, a lot of people do need to just pull up their bootstraps and fucking work harder. That's just a fact of life. But no, what we're all about is, as you said there, it's like, we care about the person, we care about the result, and we want to give you actionable stuff that we've used as well. So that's the other thing as well. We won't give you something we haven't used. So like, you can watch our Instagram and you can almost see what our clients are about to get in the next 3 to 6 months. Because whatever we're doing, we're just beta testing it. We just beta test everything on us and we go, fuck, that worked, or fuck, that didn't work. And the ones that worked get turned into trainings and then the guys get them. So
I'll run back to, there's the first point that you made, which I think is going to be really helpful for everyone listening, which is getting clear on what coaching success looks like to you. Because there's two facets of coaching. There's the delivery of coaching and there's the business of coaching, if you're going to own a coaching business. And I thought it was a really great story that you shared about that client that went to Australia, because what can happen is coaches can get so caught up in the business side that they forget, they basically forget everything. They forget their delivery. They forget getting the results. They forget about looking after their clients. And they also forget about the kind of lifestyle that they want to live. Now, there are some people listening to this that are heavy metal entrepreneurs, and they're like, I want to scale this thing to the moon and back, and they're quite happy. Yep. And I've certainly been in that mode for the last 3 years with TMP. And only this year I'm actually starting to slow down a little bit and go, all right, well, let's actually live a little. But some people, or some communities and organizations, coaches, mentors, whatever you want to call them, will say, this is the way, you've got to be heavy metal or get out. Or on the flip side, there's others, which is like, heavy metal entrepreneurship and coaching is bad. You should only just sort of chill out and do whatever. But what I really liked there was that with that client, you looked at what did success look like for them. So for them, it was building a coaching business that made an impact and allowed them to travel and go around Australia. So I implore anyone that's listening to this, you're going to get a lot of noise. The marketplace is very noisy and everyone's going to be telling you to do this or to do this, or to do this. But you have to begin with the end in mind. You've got to really think about, and I've had to read you this myself, because I achieved all of my goals over the last 3 years. And then I kind of literally in January, I was like, oh, well, what's the next bit? Which is why you're going to see me traveling a lot more over the next few months, just exploring. Just got back from Albania, like, because I'd reached that point. But you've got to begin with the end in mind. How do you want to feel? Like, what do you want to do? What kind of experiences do you want to have? Do you want to be somebody that's behind the laptop 6 days a week? I have been that guy, and I kind of still am. I love that, but not everyone is. On the flip side, is it a lifestyle business that you want? What are the kind of experiences there? And what I really like that you touched on there was you began with the end in mind. He wants to go and travel Australia, right? So he doesn't need to be earning crazy amounts to go and do that. He needs to make sure he has a coaching business that delivers results for his clients, a coaching business that gives him the time that he needs to go and travel, and then on the financial side to facilitate all of that. So that's building a business with a lot more meaning and purpose from the coaching side, which is obviously where we resonate a lot with.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's a bit of a cliche, but I think it's understanding like what's your why and what's your, you know, what is it you actually want? Because we've like a raft of clients and they all have different reasonings for doing different things. Like, you know, some clients we have, you know, maybe have, are married and have kids. They could be in their late 30s, they could be in their 40s. And do you know what I mean? Like, if they've been making, say, 3K a year, pretty much like their entire married life. So let's say they've been married 10 plus years, 15 years, whatever, they've had kids that long, and they've built a lifestyle based off making 3K a month, and their spouse also making another, say, 3 to 4K a month or whatever, right? And then all of a sudden they're making 10K a month. Like, that has drastically changed that person's life beyond belief, like beyond belief. So that person's probably not as motivated to be like, right, okay, I want to make $1 million a year. But because making 120K a year is already like, is already mental for them. You know what I mean? And we do actually have clients like that. We have a client in particular. I don't want to like name drop all my clients and stuff like that, but we have a client in particular comes to mind, and she came into our program. I think she was making around sort of 7K a month, maybe 6K a month, but she was never really making anything above that. She felt like she was capped out at that. She's like, I can't physically make any more. She joined in December, which is arguably the worst month of the year for a lot of PT seals. And she had her first 10K month within like 3 weeks of being on the program, because she only needed small changes. She was already doing great stuff. But to her, that was completely life-changing result. And now she's done another 10K and another 10K, and now she's brought on another coach underneath her. And now she's up to 12K. She might even be higher than that now, right? And now she's maybe looking at a second coach, so the third coach in overall in the program, including herself. But to her, like, that's that, like, she's actually probably going to scale this way beyond what she ever wanted. When she came to us, she goes, I'd be happy with like 10 plus K months. Now she's on the fast track to 15, 20. And if she keeps, and like, she's just growing, her Instagram is growing. If she keeps just on this trajectory, like, there's no reason why within a year to 2 years, she couldn't be at like 50K months plus, even more than that, if she keeps, you know, just bringing in more staff and scaling. And we actually, she was on a call with me this morning, because I do like a Friday, like, group call. And there's normally pretty small numbers on it. And so people get a lot of one-to-one time with me on it. And she actually asked, she said, I'm already booked out. My coach I brought in is almost already booked out as well. Will I just go and get another coach? And I said, well, how aggressively do you want to scale it? Like, do you want more money, and do you want, you know, or do you want to just be like capped out, and just when someone leaves, you bring somebody else in? And she was like, well, do you know what? I want to go on holiday and actually take 2 weeks off. So it'd be great to have another coach in that can cover my people. And I goes, right, well, okay, so you're at like 80, 90% capacity now. Let's not wait until you're full. Let's go start interviewing other coaches, and let's get somebody in now. And she was like, right, I'm on it. Sweet, let's go. So she's going to scale fast now, but her life's already changed. You know what I mean? And she's probably like a customer for life now, like, because she just loves the program. It's changed her life drastically. But everybody's a wee bit different. And we get other clients in as well who, once they hit sort of 6, 8K, you can almost see them taking the foot off the gas. And, you know, we'll maybe press them a bit harder and be like, look, you could really push this here. You could hit 10K. And they're just like, do you know what? Like, it wouldn't make any difference to my life if I made any more. You know, they've already maybe doubled or tripled the income from they've joined, and that's where they're at with it. So yeah. And we've a like a very wide range of people. Like, we have one client, again, not the name drop.
Quite interesting on that one, which is, yep. I think coaches sometimes get so caught up in the numbers and the monthly numbers and associate their self-worth with that. But it's getting to a place of going, well, hang on, am I living a lifestyle that I absolutely love and enjoy and adore? And from that point, often coaches make a mistake. So they'll leave the business coaching, or they'll leave that, because I'm happy now. What they don't realize is they can optimize their systems, and they can optimize. If you're in a place where, like, I'm really happy and I want to maintain, actually working with people can help you really optimize those processes, so you can get just as good, if not better, results in less time, whilst freeing up that lifestyle, because more team often doesn't necessarily mean less stress. It can, but if you've never been a manager before, and then next thing you're managing people, that can actually create a whole nother gap. So it's understanding, well, what kind of lifestyle do you want to live? And are you willing to make that leap? Because it's one thing being just a coach. It's another thing then having a coaching business. And then it's another thing actually having an assistant and maybe one coach. And then there's another thing to hiring a team and having infrastructure and systems and ads and all of this complexity that comes in with that. And what I find is sometimes clients are more than capable of hitting a certain level, but they just don't want it. So they self-sabotage their way out of it and they stop behaving in ways in which it's going to help them get there. And those coaches are actually better off going, you know what? I realized I want to kind of just maintain and build out my systems and my infrastructure and really make this a well-oiled ship, enjoy life for a period of time, and then accelerate forward. And I think that's really where a top mentor can spot that and go, well, hang on, is that actually what you want? Or is that noise, or you're caught up in your environment, or you're stuck in comparison? Because comparison is such a huge element. Even when we spoke at the event in Marbella, we were talking about comparison in there. And nobody actually appreciates that when you compete unconsciously with people in a business mentorship, all you're getting caught up on is one piece of data out of the million pieces of data that is possible for a human being. So you'll look at their monthly revenue is here, my monthly revenue is here. But you're not necessarily looking at their stress levels. You're not looking necessarily at how many hours that they're working. You're not looking at their background. Have they got a background in business and in infrastructure and in systems and marketing and sales? Have they got a different coaching background? You haven't looked at how much capital they started with. You haven't looked at whether they've got a partner. Being a single person means you can actually work a lot harder for longer, a lot faster. But at the same time, you're actually more likely to burn out because you don't have a partner supporting you, making sure that you're fed and helping you out. Okay, like, have you taken enough downtime and having that person in your life? So you kind of get caught up in this one metric when actually there's about a million different data points upon which you're not taking into consideration to that comparison. And I think the key thing, if you want to build a meaningful business, is getting clear on, well, what are your objectives? How do you want to actually feel? What are the financial requirements in order to get there? And then actually learn to enjoy the journey and enjoy the process, regardless as to what's going on in your environment. Those are the coaches I see that make the most impact for their clients, make the most impact in the market, and they actually enjoy the journey, because there's no point in putting yourself through ridiculous levels of stress and unhappiness to compare with a stranger on the internet or compete with a stranger on the internet. So I thought I'd drop that in there. I want to flip the script. I want to go into Misachievers. How did you get to the point where you started helping people build their businesses? Like, run me through the story. Where did business start for you?
Yeah. So my background's in sales, and I don't need to go into how I get into sales and all that. It's a big, long-winded story. But my background is always in sales. I was always heavily motivated by money, just to be completely transparent with everybody. I was, my complete, like, financial awakening was watching The Wolf of Wall Street and then going to see Jordan Belfort live and just being like, I want to be this man. Like, I just want this guy's life. And to be fair, that probably comes from, like, you know, growing up in a family where we did grow up, you know, working class, like, quite poor. And then my granddad had some significant business success in sort of his late 50s onwards, and then we were quite comfortable and have been ever since. So I think seeing that success around him, you know, always made me very financially motivated, because I didn't want to lose it, having grown up not having it. So anyway, the business side of things came from seeing him. I always wanted to be an entrepreneur. I always saw, you know, the money he was making and the lifestyle he was able to have, and he wasn't flash or anything like that, but like the family never wanted for anything. So I always thought, you know, maybe I'll take over his business someday. And then I remember, like, approaching him about it, and he was just like, nah, I'll be selling it. I was like, oh, right, okay. So then I was like, right, okay, so I'm gonna have to do this myself. There's not gonna be any handouts here. So at the time I was working in Audi. So I sold cars for Audi, and I was very successful car salesman, doing a great job. And I remember this is how I actually got into the fitness industry. I remember there was it was an online coach, and back then, now I'm talking whenever I was 24, so that's like 8 years ago now. Online coaching wasn't a huge thing, but there was an online coach came in. He was quite well known in Belfast, and he came in to buy an R8, and I went, how the fuck is the PT coming in here to buy an R8? And then one of the sales guys was friendly with him. He was, you know, trying to do the deal, and I think he went and bought a Mercedes instead. But I was like, how the fuck is he making all this money? And he said, oh, he's online coaching. He's got this website. People just go on and buy his programs. And I was like, what? So I looked up his website, and it wasn't anything special. And it was just like, you know, it's fucking you know, X number, £100 for a 12-week program and this for an 8-week program and all. It was just like a basic e-com site. And again, I don't even know if we had Instagram 8 years ago, but I think he had like a pretty big Facebook presence. And I pitched the idea to my roommate at the time, who's a PT, Johnny. And I said, I know you know nothing about computers, but I do. So how's about I'll do the website side of things, you do the program, and we'll set this up. This guy's fucking into buying R8. Like, there's got to be money here. And he was like, yeah, that sounds like a good idea, all the rest of it. So long story short, that never took off. I ended up moving to Dubai as a financial advisor, then came home, started working in Vodafone out in the road. And then I was like, you know what? I'm not going to fucking drop this. I have like an idea. And I had an idea for a startup, which was like a marketplace. So it wasn't just, it wouldn't just be one PT. It would hopefully be thousands of PTs selling online coaching programs, and we would take a cut of it. And I put like my heart, my soul into this. I got it to a stage where we were pitching to investors. I eventually ended up pivoting it into almost like a True Coach style app as well, because the marketplace alone just didn't seem to have enough appetite for it. So I was like, I can get coaches on to, you know, coach their clients on it and then sell their programs through it as well. There's, you know, another way to make money there. So got it so far to the stage where I got all these grants for it and stuff, but I was still like 30 grand in debt with it. And I was like, fuck me. Like, I just don't know how I get this any further. I'm either going to have to go bankrupt or I'm going to have to do something with this. And I was part of the business mentorship at the time that I told you that at the start that I'd met Tony in. And I said to my mentor, look, I've learned how to do Facebook ads. And I actually, on the side, completely for free, was anybody in there, because obviously you make friends in the mentorships and things like that, they were messing me like, can you help me with my Facebook ads? Can you help me with my Facebook ads? Can you help me with Facebook? Because I learned Facebook ads for the sole purpose of advertising the app. And I ended up like tallying up at the end of the week. And I was like, holy fuck, I've done like a 20-hour work week for these guys. And all these guys are making 10K a month, at least. And I'm not getting anything out of this. I know I'm doing it out of the goodness of my heart, but also I'm in 30 grand in debt here. Like, I fucking, you know, I need help. So I said to my mentor, I goes, look, I don't want to do anything in your program that would be a conflict. Do you mind if I start charging for this? And he basically responded to me. He goes, I can't believe you're not charging for it. I went, right. Okay, sweet. So I then basically very, very, like, I mean, the cheapest fucking Facebook advertising service ever, I think it was like 400 quid a month or something, and I would run your ads for you. And I just went to everybody that I was doing it for free for, and I said, look, I'm going to actually turn this into a business. This is what I'm going to charge. It's probably the cheapest you're ever going to get for this level of service. Let me know if you're interested. And everybody signed up. Mm-hmm. Everybody signed up. I think in my first month, I made 8K or something like that. Sorry, no, that's not true. In my first month, I think I made 4K. My second month, I made 500. And then my third month, I made about 8K, right? And I was still working a full-time job for Vodafone as well. So I just went, fuck Vodafone, right? So I just put my notice in. This was in the middle of COVID too. Like, nobody was buying anything. So the Vodafone job was so stressful. Everybody, we were just constantly being threatened. Like, oh, if you don't hit target, you're going to be fired and this, that, and the other. And it's like, nobody wants to buy anything. It's fucking COVID. Everybody's getting laid off. Nobody wants any phones. So yeah, I just fucking binned Vodafone off and I went full time with it, and we made 100K. Well, I say we, me, I, it was me. I made 100K within 8 months. So 8 months I'd made 100K exactly. So it was turned into a six figure business within, you know, 3 months, and we'd made our first 100K within 8 months. So that's how I got into it all, really. It was through that startup app, which never went anywhere, which then became a marketing agency. And then now I got into the business mentorship stuff as well. So a bit of a random entry point, but that's the story.
Yeah. It's so fascinating because you're fascinated by business. That's clearly the thing, right? You're fascinated how businesses work and how they operate. I really resonate with that. So I studied at the Peter Jones Enterprise Academy when I was 16, and he was teaching us about the entrepreneurial mind. One thing that Peter Jones said was, entrepreneurs unconsciously will walk into a business and start trying to calculate their turnover. And I sense that you've probably got that too. You walk into a restaurant, you're like, right, what's the average meal here? It's probably going to be like $50. All right, okay.
And I literally did that 2 weeks ago. I went out for dinner for my birthday, and I was like, fuck, I wonder how much money he's making here. I goes, the margin's probably about 15%, might be even less. And I was like, buy. I goes, eh, it's not bad.
Right, that's what entrepreneurs do. They go in and they're like, okay, well, how does... how does that work? And how do we deliver on that? And what about this? And what about that? And they're really fascinated. They're wired differently. So I think that you and Tony have got a really nice harmonic balance, because you're looking at it from the entrepreneurial lens of how do we build systems that acquires customers, that delivers great services for customers and delivers more revenue. Or Tony, he's got that in his locker as well, but he's also a diehard coach. And that's what I noticed when he was speaking, was he was going into how the fuck do you get results? How do you get clients to reply to your messages? How do you get clients to break through? And that's a really nice harmonic balance. I think the mind of an entrepreneur, I think it's just like boxing, insofar as there's a dance between the art and the science. Because the science is you've got to look at the data, you've got to look at the information, you kind of got to go, right, my hunch is telling me this, but the evidence is, I'm now in debt and no one's buying my product and it's not working. Yeah. So the artist inside you is like, oh, but it's so beautiful and it's such a great concept. And then the information is telling you, well, buddy, this ain't flying. And having the dance between the two, as an entrepreneur, where you can look at that scale between 100% data, 0% art, 50-50. Where do you think you sit on that scale?
Oh, that's a fucking good question. Cause I am like, I consider myself like a creative, like that app, that actually, you know, you're giving me a bit of PTSD, cause that app was fucking beautiful. Like, we put so much effort into it and it was so functional. And sometimes I see apps nowadays and I'm like, they're shit compared to what we have. Like, how did this not like fucking take off? But the irony of it is, I think we were potentially just too early to market. I think like now there's fucking about a million coaching apps and they're all seem to be doing quite well. I'm like, fuck's sake, maybe I was just like a bit too early. But it's certainly a fine balance, because I would probably be, well, I think I've already proven that I will happily put myself into debt for something I believe in, and I'll go heavily into debt. Like, 30K was a big gamble for me, because, you know, if that hadn't taken off and I didn't do the Facebook ads agency and I had just stayed at Vodafone, I'd probably still be paying that off. I probably would have had to take out some kind of, you know, debt consolidation loan, and I'd probably still be paying that off to this day. I don't know. Maybe would have had to go and like do OnlyFans or something. I don't know. I don't know if somebody would have paid for it, hopefully. But, you know, I'm a firm believer in, you know, backing yourself. I really am. And I think there's a lot of coaches aren't actually willing to do that, like, that I would meet anyway. Like, back whenever I joined that, like, I know a lot of business mentorships where, you know, the sales guy will really push hard for somebody to invest in them, and even if that means going into debt. And we don't teach our guys to do that. We're like, look, if somebody can't afford it, they can't afford it. Sell them the lower ticket service, or, you know, don't try and put somebody in the higher ticket service that's going to put them at a disadvantage financially. You know, that's just a moral thing that we sort of do. And that's probably not the best route for sales, but I do believe in ethical selling as well. But at the same time, the caveat there is that there is an element of back yourself. Like, I would back myself. Like, people have asked Tony before they go on to sales calls, they're like, oh, look, this is how much I make. If you were in my shoes, would you take the CM, or would you go into Nexus? Nexus is our cheaper service. And he's like, if it was me, I'm not telling you to do this, but if it was me, I would back myself. I would go into the bigger tier service. Like, when Tony joined the mentorship that we met in, he invested every penny he had into it. So he was only working in the fire service, making like 16 grand a year. He had 8 grand of savings. And he gave that whole 8 grand to the business mentor and went, I'm all in on this. You know, I don't think a lot of people are willing to do that nowadays. Some, but not a lot. And so I do think there's a fine balance between being completely moronic. You know, you can go so far with the creative aspect and be like, you know, I'm going to put my heart, soul, all my finances into this. And then I think, you know, there's the other end of the spectrum where it's just like you're too focused on the numbers. I'll give you a bit of an anecdote. I was actually at my own mentors live event the last 3 nights. They're out in Australia, so it was 9 p.m. to 1 a.m. And there was a guy on talking, John, he was called, and he runs a coaching business in Australia that does $108 million of revenue every year. Now, that is, I would imagine, Aussie dollars, but still fucking a lot of money. And he puts about $30 million a year in the ads. But he was saying that all the ad spend, he does that in debt, basically. So he doesn't take $30 million of his own money and puts it in. He gambles that knowing his numbers, he knows his numbers so, so, so well that he's like, I'm happy to put this money in because I know we're going to make the sales on it because we're going to lose this many people. So we're going to get this, you know, this many leads, this many people will actually show up, this many people will, buy, and this many people will buy here, and bang, bang, bang. Like, he knows all those, and they're maybe off, they could maybe be off by 1% or whatever, but he's happy to gamble the money. So he'll put that into like all it on credit cards or an overdraft or whatever. And he's like, it's all right, the sales are going to replenish that money. So that, because that's because he knows his numbers. So he's that's happy the, to, as long as you know your numbers.
That's the scientist looking at the data and looking at the evidence. Yeah. Well, I know that if we put $30 million into ads, I think I can turn it into $60 million. With our operational costs, it's probably going to be about 30%, 20%, whatever that is. That's the scientist, right? Where he's looked at the data, he's looked at the evidence, and he's gone, yeah, I'm going to make a bet on that. But there is an artist inside there that's like, no, I'm going to have the balls to do it. So come on, let's get creative and let's see. And I think that's an underrated skill that any coaching entrepreneur needs to have, is the artist. And a lot of coaches will be artists perhaps in their coaching, or they'll be the data-driven guys in their coaching, which is, well, the science says this, this paper says this, or whatever. And it's having the ability to be emotionally and mentally flexible enough to know, okay, I've got this hunch and I've got this idea and I've got this piece of creativity, but the evidence is telling me this. So where do you go? And some people are more weighted towards the, I've just licked my finger and put it in the air as a weather test, a wind test. Some people go, let's go. And then there's other people that will just go, right, let's look at the data and the evidence. I was the opposite. I was the guy that would just go in all artistic, go on in. And unlike you, I built an app called Make Weight. Make Weight was we actually just sold the domain, interestingly, last week, makeweight.com. Funny story, got held for ransom. Somebody stole all of the TMP logins for TikTok and handles and whatever. Give me your domain, And I was like, no, thank you, and whatever. Give me a really low offer, like 15% of what we actually sold it for. And I was trying to manipulate, really weird businesses like that. Like, weird stuff can really happen. But I went into that business, just no data, no evidence. I didn't even look at the total addressable market. The market wasn't big enough. One thing you mentioned was timing. Peter Jones always used to talk about timing. You can have the right entrepreneur and the right business at the wrong time. And I didn't have any of the data. I didn't look at any of it. Whereas now, as I'm growing as an entrepreneur and as a coach, we're using data to understand where our clients' progress is going. Are they generally trending up in confidence and down in volatility? But then also looking at our total addressable market of, okay, well, for this business in the UK and Europe, the market's massively behind. It's not usual to talk about your emotions and psychology. So there's going to be a little bit slower to educate the market to then get them there. Whereas in America, uptake has been a little bit quicker because people are like, yep, I know what that is and I want to go and do that. So that's the scientist looking at the data. Okay, the total addressable market is this size. We can look at this and this and this. But then the artist is going, yeah, but total mental performance. Like, that's what this is about. Yes, we're all qualified in therapy, but we've also got business leadership and entrepreneur background. And that wasn't data. I didn't do any market research. It just came to me in a flash of inspiration. That's why I want to give people total mental performance. So you always have to dance between the two, because if you're too artistic, you might get lucky, but chances are you're going to trip up a hell of a lot. And if you're too data led, you're just going to be stuck in the numbers and stuck in your own head, which I think is a really fascinating thing to talk about, just from a mental performance and mindset perspective. There'll be a lot of people on this podcast that are going, Cheevers is working on his mindset, or he's worked with total mental performance. Like, what possibly could he have to work on? He seems to just get shit done. What would you, for you? Yeah, you laugh now. What was it for you that made you go, yeah, you know what? I'm going to address this. I know there's another level in here.
Yeah, so I originally reached out to you. I spoke to you at first about it at Marbella. So I had a pretty shitty sort of 6 to 9 months prior to Marbella. Personal stuff and different things, and I was really struggling with anxiety and panic attacks and just different things. And I'd never sort of, you know, had that before. I mean, I have no problem sharing the stories, but like the October before, like my dog Loki, he was my best friend in life, and we did everything together. From I had him from when he was a puppy. I think he was about four when he passed away. Died very suddenly. I was in New York actually, and came back and he was sick, and turns out he'd swallowed something. It got stuck in his intestines and he needed surgery, and unfortunately apparently according to the vets, I don't know if I believe them, the surgery went fine, and then he ended up getting an infection, and the surgery was on the Monday and he died on the Friday. So that obviously was like, took me completely by surprise, because he was four and I thought I'd have him till he was about 15. I thought he'd still be, you know, sitting beside me right now. And that really knocked me for six. And to be honest, it sounds a bit strange for somebody who's, I think it was 30 at the time. 30. That was 30. Sounds a bit strange, but that was the first like time I'd ever felt grief. I've been very blessed in that my grandparents are quite young and my mum's quite young, and I've not lost any close family members to date. So I'd never experienced grief before, and it just completely blindsided me, and I didn't know really how to handle it, and yeah, it was shit. Then I went to some therapy for it, just with BetterHelp, and that helped a little bit. I started that in like the January after. That helped for a bit. And then just as I was sort of like thinking like, oh, you know, everything's going back to normal, then my granny got diagnosed with bile cancer. And my granny is like my mom, because my mom was a single mom growing up. So she was at work. So my granny raised me. And as much as I love my mother, mom always jokes that you have two moms. So Mother's Day, I always have to buy two gifts and two sets of flowers and two everything. But yeah, like I look at my granny like basically like my mother. So that was devastating too, because I have a very close relationship with her. So I wouldn't even say that I was over Loki dying by that stage, but I was coming to terms with it anyway. And then I got hit with this. And I said I'd never really experienced grief before. That's probably not entirely true, but because my stepfather, when I was about 15, he died of bile cancer. So, but again, stepfather's a wee bit different than, you know, like your granny who's raised you. So, and it was also a long time ago. So I just went, holy fuck, right? Loki's died. My granny's got bile cancer. She's gonna die, and I think I was just on like the verge of like a mental breakdown. I just started getting like all these anxiety attacks and panic attacks. Like my heart rate would like went up to like 180 one night. Just sat on the couch. Went into hospital. You know, different. You know, nobody could come up with a reason for it. And I think it was just like a stress overload. I think it was just like the business was doing well, but I was putting myself under a lot of pressure to grow it. I had all these things going on in my personal life that were, just coming out of nowhere. I just felt like every time it just felt like nothing could possibly go right. And then obviously, you know, you have client delivery and all of that as well. And like, you know, clients expect that, you know, they're paying for a service, they want a delivery. And whilst Tony did his best, obviously, to cover me whenever things were, you know, not going well. You know, we are a two-man band and it requires everybody to pull your weight. So yeah. And, you know, again, like I said, I ended up canceling the therapy with BetterHelp. I find it got so far. Luckily, my grandmother ended up being like completely okay. So she got the surgery, was completely cancer-free, and that was just a huge relief for me. And I think we found out about that like sort of in the April. So, I suppose life sort of went back to almost normal after that. But despite all that, like things going back to normal and whatever, the anxiety just never went away. It just started to become like a constant in my life. Like I ended up having to take like beta blockers and stuff for the panic attacks, and I still occasionally like I'll get one completely out of the blue, and you know that just seems to be the way of it now, but they're certainly a lot less. But you know, I knew what TMP did. I knew that that this was affecting my performance, because there was a place I wanted to take the business to, and I felt like this was really hampering it. And I felt like the more the business grew, which was great, you know, when I wanted to see it grow, and I, you know, we wanted the more revenue and the more clients and the more impact and the more freedom, like we wanted everything that came with it. It just got more and more and more stressful, and the pressure to keep delivering, creating content and you know, doing stuff for clients and all of that stuff. It just kept like piling. And I was just like regularly having like fucking panic attacks and anxiety episodes and this, that, and the other. And honestly, like at one point, I honestly just said to my mum, I can't live like this anymore. Like I need, like I was paying for like private, like medical consultants and all sorts and stuff. I was like, I need to get to the bottom of this because I can't like have like, whilst I don't think I would ever do something like this, and like God forbid that I even said this, but like I said to my mom, I goes, honestly, I think I'd rather fucking die. Like fucking, I'd honestly consider killing myself than having to go through like several panic attacks every single week. Cause I didn't know when they were going to happen. I could be like watching the TV. I could be with somebody. I could be on a date. I could be driving the car, anything. And then just all of a sudden, like if nobody's ever had one, you don't know how bad they are, but you genuinely just think that you're having a heart attack and you're dying. Like my heart rate would have just went to like 170, 180, sweat pissing off me. Like you just get this sense of dread that everything's coming around you. And it was awful. And, but yeah, then obviously, you know, we started working together and, you know, one big relief outside of working with you was I went to like a cardiologist and he just gave me like a clean bill of health. And he goes, this is like basically all in your head. It's like, you know, your heart is completely fine. Your bloods are completely fine. Your hormones are completely fine. Like there's nothing medically wrong with you. So he goes, there's something that is triggering these and we need to get to the bottom of it. So I was able to obviously control when the symptoms with the likes of the beta blockers. But then whenever we started working together, then we started getting into like the deep rooted causes of like why am I anxious? Why are these things happening to me? And it's, you know, it's not really an issue now. So I can't even remember like all of the different stuff that we sort of went through to get to the bottom of it all. But yeah, obviously the TMP services helped drastically. And ever since we've had record month after record month. So it's been incredible.
There's a really interesting point in there, which is I talk a lot about the actual physiological side. So I'd encourage clients to actually, if they believe something physiological is going on, to go and get tested on their hormones, go and get tested, like body tested, go and check there's nothing physiological going on. And you had that. So it's like, it's all in the mind. And that was really the thing that I could see that was holding you back. I think when we first spoke, I asked you, out of all of your potential on a scale of 1% to 100%, where do you feel like you're at? And you can you remember what you said? I've got it written down.
Oh, fuck. Oh, no. You know, you tell me. It's probably, I don't know. What did I say? Like 7% or something? Did I say that low? I don't know.
Yeah, you did say that low. You said, here we go. I've got your notes up in front of me. I said, where do you feel like you're at on a performance perspective? And you said, to be honest, 4 out of 10. I know there's more. I just don't know how to access it. And I said, why is that? And you said this anxiousness and this, it's quite intense and it's been distracting me. And once we started to crack through that, then we started going into the more the entrepreneurial mind, which I found really fun, which was the relationship with money. I don't know if you remember, but there was an anxiousness about money, even though the Stripe accounts were filling up faster than ever by this point, as you were breaking through those limiting beliefs and you're getting more done, there was this fear. Can you remember that? And would you be up for sharing on some of the things that were
coming? Yeah. I think so. There was always an underlying fear, I suppose, that, you know, it would just all stop. So there was definitely an underlying fear that, and I think like a lot of entrepreneurs will relate with this, is that, you know, things are going well, clients are getting good results, but there's just something in the back of your head. It's like, what if all my clients just leave tomorrow? And that'll never happen, right? But there was just, you know, we were expanding into hiring staff, like full-time staff for the first time, not VAs or contractors, or like we have several members of full-time staff who do a great job for us. But like taking on those salaries to begin with, you were just like, holy fuck, right? That's just like, I don't want to put people's salaries on, but let's say several thousand pounds a month, just out every month. And there's some, like the operation based ones, it's not like a salesperson, there's no tangible return on investment other than time back, right? So it's hard to say, right, okay, I'm spending this several thousand pound every month for nothing really. Do you know what I mean? Like that's not the case. They're obviously doing work for you. They're giving you more time back, giving you more freedom, but it's not like a salesperson. You're like, I pay X thousand pounds a month. He makes me X thousand pounds. So, so that was starting to really stress us out because it was like, holy fuck, you know, there's a lot of expenses now that we didn't have before. yes, Stripe's going up, and I just couldn't get out of my head. I was like, fuck, what if this all just comes tumbling down tomorrow?
Yeah. And it's funny because a lot of these thoughts are natural and normal. It's just how much time and energy do you place to them. So the way for us, a thought is a thought that's not worth having is if it's impacting your ability to perform. And at that point, it was doing that. It was creating noise. You'd be sitting there, you'd get a notification, and then rush of emotion, adrenaline. That's a sign that if you're being hijacked by your emotions, that is impacting your ability to sit down, concentrate, and perform based on certain triggers, then that's worth working on. And you really made those shifts and those breakthroughs. And it's funny because we don't coach business. We don't tell you how to sell or build stuff or coach people, or we don't do any of that. We just help you perform on an individual level. And the amount of times that anxiousness and fear around money and money mindset comes up, and when we make those shifts, our clients make loads more money. Because my view is, if you're scared of money, you're scared of not having enough, you'll chase it. And if you chase money, it's like a butterfly, it will fly away. But actually, if you can cultivate a mind, a way of being, an energy that's so abundant, that's like having a garden full of flowers. So then the butterflies come to you versus you trying to chase the butterflies. And I really saw that shift halfway through the program within you, where the penny dropped and you went, I'm fucking king at what we do. We get great results. We provide a great service. What am I so worried about? And then seeing you step up in your leadership and the acceleration that you guys have been on since then has been absolutely phenomenal. So from my side, mate, I'm really, really proud coach to see just the differences in you. Like, you're not recognizable to the achievers I met in Marbella, to the one at the beginning of the process, the one that I met at the TMP event in Manchester in that cinema. And looking at you now, it's like pound for pound, you knock that guy out every day of the week and twice a week.
Yeah, well, no, 100%. And I think it was, like, I'm paraphrasing, I'm not, this isn't verbatim, but I think it was Zig Ziglar said, and it was my own mentor recently repeated it. So that's where I got it from. And it was about, like, he's basically hammering home about, you know, good guys can win too. And the quote was, if you help enough people get what they want, you'll inevitably get what you want. So if you can give enough people results, whether that's, you know, and if you're just starting out, for example, listen to this, even if that's for free, if you can get enough people good results, then you will get what you want inevitably, because people will pay you for those over time. So and that's why, that's a big part of our program, and why Tony really hammers people getting results. Because you could literally just put a before and after up every day, and that could be your entire marketing, because that's mostly what people care about, is the result. They don't really care about, like, if you can make a Smarties cookie for 100 calories. They care about, can you get them into the shape that they want? Or in TMP's case, can they get you to mentally perform at the level that you want? You know what I mean? So that's the way it is.
Can you remember we did the circles exercise, and we had achievers at the beginning of the process, and then achievers where he's now, and then Miami achievers when he goes out there. Can you remember that exercise?
Yeah.
If he was going to describe achievers at the beginning of the process to where he is now, how would you describe the difference between those two, from the way that they think, the way that they feel, the way in which they perform?
The guy at the start of the process, definitely, like I said, like an anxious mess. Do you know what I mean? He was just, you know, worried about everything, struggled to perform on a day-to-day basis because of the anxiety. You know, I could have had a list this long of tasks to do, and all I would have thought about was just like, oh God, like, you know, I was scared to look at, like, phone notifications, because God forbid somebody wanted to leave, or somebody had an overdue payment or something like that. You know what I mean? Like that, anything like that, it was like a trigger for me going, fuck, this is the beginning. This is the start of it. This is the house of cards. It's falling down now. This is what's going to happen. So that's what he was like. And now I'm completely resilient to it. I could see a page of red. I wouldn't be very fucking happy about it, but I could see a page of red overdue payments, and I'd just be like, "Eh, all right, okay. They're probably gonna lift in a couple of days, or somebody will email in and say they're having struggles with something, and, you know, we'll sort it out." And that's probably the biggest difference now. And ultimately, if somebody wants to leave, I just go, I don't really have a problem with anybody leaving the program if they want to leave. Either they've completed it, they feel like they're finished, or maybe it's just not for them anymore, and that's totally cool as well. nobody's gonna, you know, nobody will have me falling out with them or sending them a shitty message or whatever. It'll be like, cool, I hope that you had a good time here. I hope that we've gotten you the result you wanted. If I think they're making a mistake, I'll let them know though. I'll be like, look, I don't think this is maybe, you know, you've more in the tank here. But ultimately, if somebody wants to leave, they'll leave. And I just go, right, okay, who's the next guy that we're getting in? And we just move on to getting replaced in the spot. And I think that's, in a coaching business, that's the way you have to be. You have to, when your clients want to leave, and they will want to leave eventually, nobody's going to stay forever. It's not about worrying about keeping them or worrying about what somebody did wrong or anything like that. It's right, okay, how do we replace them? And hopefully they'll give you a testimonial on the way out if you haven't got one off them already.
Yeah. Well, look, you're there for a chapter of the book. You're not there for the entire book. And when you can really own that and go, okay, well, I did my bit. I just want to make sure that when they read back. So this is one thing for me that's really important is in 5 years, 10 years from now, who knows where TMP is going to go? Who knows where the coach's mentorship is going to go or whatever? But let's assume we're in different realities and different universes, right? You look back at your time with TMP and you have a glint in your eye and you go, you know what? They were good dudes. They really looked out for us. They really helped me. They really helped me get to another league and another level. And I think if you can have that in your mind with whatever service that you provide, that for me is a stamp of, right, I did my bit. There's a glint in their eye of going, you know what? They always looked after us and they always did a great thing. What would you say to anybody that's on the fence of working with TMP? Somebody's like, I know I kind of need to do it, but I'm not sure. Based on your experience and the changes that you've seen, what would you say?
Just do it. Look, back yourself. I always tell people to back themselves. You know, if you can afford to financially, do it. And if for some reason you can't, like, talk to the guys, like, I'm sure they'll talk out some kind of payment plan, or they'll have another coach you can work with or something. But absolutely back yourself, get on board with them. Do it. It's changed my life for the better. I don't know where we would be as a business right now. Hiring more staff and stuff. Would we even be hiring more staff? Would I be too anxious about bringing more staff on if I hadn't done TMP? Nobody knows the answer to that. I would find it unlikely. So, I mean, the result's been life-changing for me. I can't encourage it enough. And we regularly send, you know, like, if a second client says to me, oh, I'm having a mindset issue, I'll be like, right, okay, we've got Dan in the group, because Dan obviously supports our mentorship. And don't know why there's a thumbs up there. I don't know if you can see that. Dan, we always say, look, you know, Dan's happy for you to reach out to him if there's nothing we can help you with. There's also loads of trainings that Dan's done. Make sure you go and watch those. And then if all of that sort of ticked as well, then we're just like, why don't you actually just reach out to TMP? Have you thought about working with them? And a lot of people are like, oh, yeah, no, I've thought about it, but I've not reached out or whatever. And we're like, just go and speak to them because if you have a severe mindset issue, because we're not mindset coaches, right? We'll touch on it. We'll do a bit of it, but we're not, you know, we're not therapists. We're not trained to deal with it. So that's why Dan supports the group. And but we send people your way all the time, and we'll keep doing so.
I appreciate that, Mr. Cheevers. The final question, forget us as a team. But what does the phrase total mental performance mean to you?
Ooh, good question. For me, I think total mental performance just is optimizing your mindset to perform at its absolute peak, at its absolute best. And, you know, It really, like, there's a big key, like, you'll get, like, that's why I love being in a business network myself as well, because I was at this live event I was on Zoom because it was being held in Australia and I wasn't fucking flying out to Australia for 3 days. There was guys there that were doing like $108 million a year. There was guys doing $50 million, $20 million, $10 million, crazy, crazy money. Like, we're not even close to that if anybody's listening, right? Like, I don't think we are. But, like, being around those guys, seeing how those guys operate and their mindset and how dialed in they are to business and like just back themselves. Like, some of them I've spoke, like, when we met a lot of them in Hawaii last year, and some of them were like, oh, some months I make a loss because I know we'll make it up down the road. And I'm like, fuck. Like, we would never really consider, like, going, oh, do you know what we should do? We should actually make a loss this month to get more clients in to make it down the road. Do you know what I mean? So Like, those guys have total mental performance, and that's what it means to me. It's like, it's just being mentally resilient, that you can just fucking back yourself, and you can just scale like fuck. And that's it for me. That's a bit obtuse as usual, but yeah.
Beautiful definition, Mr. Jeeves. Thank you so much, mate. Like I said, I really appreciate you, your time, your energy, and yeah, just obviously you've got a cage fighting background, I've got a boxing background, and for me, it's the fighter that I've engineered from a mindset perspective at the end of the process, and as they continue on their journey, as you are, versus you at the beginning of the process, would that guy knock that guy out? And I can confidently say, from what I can see, there's just no competition. So infinitely proud of you. Thank you so much for coming on the pod. Where can everyone find you?
I appreciate you, mate, as well. Everybody, if you want to find me personally, I have an Instagram page called @cheeverscloses. So it's CHEEVERSCLOSES. And that is my own personal business page where I give away sales advice. And we'll be launching a sales course later in the year. It'll not be specific to fitness. It'll be more general business. And if you want to find the Coach's Mentorship, if you're a fitness coach, it's @thecoachesmentorship. So @TheCoaches. Mentorship, MENTORSHIP. And that's where you'll find all the value from me and Tony. And Tony's Instagram is @TonyMcAlevey. You probably already follow him. Everybody knows who he is. So,
awesome. Mate, thank you so much for coming on the pod. Guys, if you found this episode helpful, please share it to anyone else that you think needs to listen to it. We're on our mission to help unlock psychological freedom for ambitious minds around the world. Share this to your story. Get subscribed to us, whether it's on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you're listening to this. Infinite love, and we'll catch you in the next episode. So that's us for today, team. I want to say a huge thank you for spending this portion of your life listening to us. A couple of things before you disappear. If you're not already following us on Instagram, you can find all of our daily content on mindset and hitting peak performance at Total Mental Performance, or our website, www.totalmentalperformance.com. If you haven't already, please subscribe. You'll find us on Spotify, the Apple Podcasts, and all the other various different platforms. Big love. Thank you ever so much. And we're looking forward to speaking with you soon.